if we open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read verse 4 for our text. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you this day are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you sit up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful for your word. Believing, Father, that much of your word is coming to pass in these last few hours, Lord, even as hundreds of your divine prophecy came to pass in the very last 24 hours of your son's life. And so, Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to be as this scripture admonishes us to be, that your word would be foremost in our heart and our mind, and then we would impress them in our children. Help them to be written in our home, on our doorposts, and everywhere we would go. And Father, may we be as that old man that Brother Branham talked about, that all he thought, all he could see was God, because there's so much God in him. Even as your prophet, before he went off the scene, he said, all my thoughts are of God. Be with us, Father. Help us to get ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I'd like to pick up paragraph 137 of the Spoken Word's original seed, where Brother Branham said, did you ever notice the great seal? It's a pyramid. Anybody ever know that the pyramid never had the capstone put on it? How many knows that? Sure, I've been there in Egypt, in Cairo, seen it. Never had the capstone. Why? It was rejected, the cornerstone. That was the cornerstone that held this building as a keystone. How many knows what a keystone is? When the arch is built, when the keystone holds it together, the cornerstone, what holds up the building, is that right? And the cornerstone is the pyramid. On the pyramid was the capstone. It was the keystone that held the rest of it together. Now this keystone was rejected. Did you notice up there, it's standing up above the pyramid now. Now what did that represent when Enoch built it? Here's what's taking place. It's just like the gospel coming, church coming. See, now down in the widest part of the pyramid represents the early days of Reformation. Just to call yourself a Christian and deny the Catholic Church meant that you get killed for it. Then along come, they preach justification by faith. Then along come, now watch, the three come back again. Along come Wesley preaching sanctification, the church becoming in the minority more, coming on down this way. And then after John Wesley days of sanctification come the Pentecostal church, and God took a remnant out of that, each one accepting the word, see? Now, when it come down to the Pentecostals, it cut it down a lot closer because it was the restoration of the gifts, bringing it right on up and make it, and what is it? Way down here, it's away from the looks of the head. Down here, it's a little closer to the head. Up here, it's a little closer, but that's got to be absolutely fit to the rest of it. It's got to be honed. In that pyramid, you can take a razor blade, you can't run them rocks where the mortar was. It fits so tightly together. They say Solomon's temple was the same, see? Now, God is taking the elect out of that Pentecostal church, that hybrid, pulling it out and finishing up the word. It's got to be so close until the word itself will blend with this word. There comes the headstone crying, grace, grace, amazing grace, the headstone. Now, here you are like this, see? on there, and Brother Bram illustrates. See, and how it way down here, and it keeps getting closer and closer and closer, the ministry. After a while, here comes Luther, justification, justified. Here comes Wesley, sanctified bunch. Here comes Pentecostal, restoration of the gifts. Now, God's taking from there, and he's honing out a bunch to make a ministry just exactly like that word there. Because it's got to fit with the word. There's the bride taking her up. Now, let's face it. We can look at the people through the ages. And they lived pretty dedicated lives. And in the days of Luther, they were willing to give their head. I mean, they were burnt at the stake, everything else. It wasn't so bad in the days of Wesley, but they sure took a lot of scoffing and a lot of, you know, well, Wesley, he was, if you read his biography, he was kicked out of just about every church he went to preach for. A lot of times they didn't even let him finish his sermon. But because of curiosity, people heard, oh, this guy got kicked out. Let's have him come to our church. And then you get halfway through the sermon there, get kicked out as well. So, you know, there's a honing going on. And Brother Branham said, now this last age has got to be so close to the Word, honed to the Word. And so we have to look at it, and you can look out amongst the 2 million people that claim to be following the message. How honed are they? Now, be honest in your heart. How honed are they? You know, I tell you what, if you walked into most churches, you couldn't tell them from a Baptist or a Pentecostal church. So, I don't know how honed they are, but they certainly don't reflect the same God that William Branham reflected, even though they can't claim to preach it. Now, the word honed means a fine-grained whetstone for giving a keen edge to a cutting tool. A tool with a rotating abrasive tip for enlarging holes to precise dimensions. Honed, honing, hones. To sharpen on a fine-grained whetstone. To perfect or make more intense or effective. I like that last one. To perfect or make more intense or effective. Now, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And if we have the same nature and life as Jesus Christ, then won't our homes be called a house of prayer as well? In other words, in the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ and the dedication that people had, do we have that same dedication? Because if we don't, are we going to go in the same rapture? You understand? I'm not saying you're going to get there by works, but I'm just saying Alpha's got to repeat in Omega. There's got to be the same dedication. Live, die, sink, or swim. You know, Brother Vail didn't just get up there and gum his gums, just, you know, and say that, live, die, sink, or swim, just so we could have a phrase. Hey, live, die, sink, or swim, you know. No, are you living it? Are you swimming it? Or are you dying? I mean, are you willing to die to self? You see, if we have the same nature and life as Jesus, then won't our homes be called the house of prayer? Didn't he get pretty upset when they were came to the church and they're selling calves and goats and all kinds of stuff? And he turned everything over upside down, threw everything out. They thought he'd lost his mind. Well, in Colossians 3 and 4, we read, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then shall we appear, then shall we phaneroo with him, manifest in our true character with him in glory, in doxa, in his values, his judgments, and his opinion. So if we appear when he appears, and our appearing is the same glory, same doxa, same mindset, then won't our homes appear as his home also should be? And shouldn't we have the same atmosphere in our homes as we do in the church? Shouldn't it be called a house of prayer? Now in Deuteronomy, remember, one of the definitions for honing was a whetstone. Well, listen to the amplified version with a little 20th century Americanese added to make it a little bit more personal to you. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, hear, O royal seed of God. The Lord God is one Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart, with your entire being, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first and foremost in your mind and in your heart. Then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you drive down the road, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall tie them as a symbol on your hands. In other words, they are to be tied to your actions, what you do. And you shall bind them upon your forehead, which means that they will encompass your mind or your mindset. And remember, your forehead is where your frontal lobe is, and that is where your memory is resident. When a person has a lobotomy, they lose their memory. But here we see that they are to take the preeminent place of our thinking, even as frontlets between the eyes, that all we see is the Word of God. As phylacteries, as Brother Vail pointed out many years ago, that go boing, boing, boing as you're walking. They're little square boxes. There's scriptures written on each corner, each side. And as long as we're walking, they bounce off our head. It's a constant reminder that you're walking in the light or walking in the Word. And then it continues, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why? So whether you're coming or whether you're going, there's a reminder of what it's all about. Constant reminder set before you of God's promises to you in this hour. In 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4, we read, because the promises contain the very nature of God, and by receiving the promises of His Word, you receive the very life in the Word, and therefore the very nature of God. Let's just turn to 2 Peter and read in verse 2 to 4. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory, doxa, opinion, value, judgment, and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice, the promises contain the very nature of God, because it's a seed. It's His Word. And by receiving the promise or His Word, you receive the very life in the Word, and therefore the very nature of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. Brother Branham wanted to keep the Lord always before him, and he wanted his home to have the same atmosphere around it as there was in the church. He wanted love, reverence, and the fear of God to be portrayed in his home, as well as in the church. Brother Branham even asked his own father to never come around his home when he was drinking. Now, as I mentioned in the past, and we've had several weddings here over the last few years, there's three major points to making a marriage better. In fact, if you're diligent to follow these three points, we'll cover them tonight, your marriage will be blessed. Now, each partner has three points. First, we'll touch on the men's three points of marriage. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, to the point of giving himself for it. Now, this is point number one. Husbands, you must love your wives, even as. That means your love must be equal with her as for yourself. So, what do you do for yourself? You must love to do for her. You spend $50 on yourself? As I've always said, you better have $50 for her. Not to spend it on what you want her to spend it on, but spend it on what she wants to spend it on. You spend $15,000 for yourself for tools or equipment or pleasure. You better have $30,000 because she deserves her share as well. $15,000 for her, even as you spend $15,000 for yourself. And the words even as means the same as. Your love must be even as. And Paul lets us know that Christ is our example, who considered you and I even before he considered himself, because he laid down his own life for us. So see, your love must be self-sacrificial in nature. I've seen too many times where, you know, the guys have all their toys. You know, they have their guns and they have all the things that go with it. And then they say to the wife, well, you can have a sewing machine. One guy came up to me after a wedding that I preached, and he said, well, I always do that. He said, I buy myself a rifle, and he said, I go out and buy myself, my wife, an electric broom. But see, that's not even as, and that's not even funny. Even as means if you have $100, she gets $100. You use it for what you want to use it, she uses it for what she wants to use it. And the word even as means the same as. Your love must be even as, the same as. And Paul lets us know that Christ is our example, who considered himself nothing. He considered us first and gave his life for us. So see, your love must be self-sacrificial in nature. Number two, men. 1 Corinthians 7 and 3 says, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. So here we see a principle in the marriage that Paul says both husband and wife must utilize to render due benevolence. This word benevolence is a Greek word, E-U-N-O-I-A. You know how it's pronounced? Euanoia. Euanoia. And it means to show forth goodwill and kindness. Paul uses the same word in Ephesians 6, verse 6 to 7. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You see, some of you women, the husband asks you to do something, and what do? Euanoia. That's euanoia. In other words, what the husband asks you to do might annoy you. But you're supposed to do it from the heart. Not giving lip service. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, number three, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter. This is point number three. Husbands, in the process of loving your wives, even as, do not become bitter with them. Now the word bitter was taken from the Greek word pikraino. It means to embitter, to exasperate, to render angry, to be sharp or disagreeable, harsh or severe. Strong feelings of hatred or resentment. Now wives, when you just love your husbands, would always consider these three principles in marriage. But are you aware that you control whether he feels bitterness toward you or not? Are you aware that you're in the control seat when it comes to this? Let's just look at what the Bible tells us about your three principles. If you keep these three principles, you'll never have to worry about an angry husband. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now the word submit comes from the Greek word hupostasso. And it means to subordinate, to place yourself under, to yield yourself to his decision making, to yield to his actions and control, to be obedient. Not just obedience, because animals can show obedience, but actually yielding your will to his will for the betterment of the two. James 3:3 says, you put a bit in a horse's mouth to make him obey. So it's not just obedience here. But submitting means an act of your will, not his will. Though you may even know better than he does, yet you have made a choice to give up your choice, just as the bride of Christ gives over her will to her grooms. You see, if we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, he gave his will over to the Father. And the scripture says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Don't be angry with him when he asks you to do something. Just submit the will over as unto the Lord. You're not doing it for the husband, you're doing it for the Lord. That's the way Jesus did. He submitted. He said, Father, my will that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, if we are to be conformed to that image, is it such a hard thing to submit in your marriage? Because that's your big test. If you can't do it in the marriage to the husband, how are you going to do it to the Word of God and to God Himself? Though you may even know better than your husband does in certain areas, yet you've made a choice to give up your choice. But the bride of Christ gives over her will to her groom to receive his mindset, so does a true bride give over her will to meet his will and his headship first. And remember, he says, as unto the Lord, or as is fit in the Lord. So your submission is unto the Lord through your husband. He's just a conduit, a vessel. Now he descends, the Lord descends with a shout, which is a military command, and it is said that we submit to this command. It comes forth. He comes forth bringing all things into subjection to him. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 2, says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, this word conversation is not her talking. It has nothing to do with talk. It is a Greek word, anastrophe, which means her manner of life, her conduct, her behavior. If you remember the story Brother Brown tells about the man who was out drinking with his buddies, they got into conversation down at the bar as to whether there was any real Christians or not anymore. And he said, I tell you what, my wife's a real Christian. So they bet him that they could break her. And they planned how they would put her to the test. And they came home acting like they were drunk and carrying on. And he crashed to the door and said in a harsh manner, as though he was drunk, make me some eggs. Now, she proceeded to cook up the eggs, and when she served them to him, he threw them on the floor and shouted, that's not the way I like them. And he said, come on, boys, let's get out of here. They went to the back room to see what she'd do. Instead of cursing and fussing and throwing a tantrum, she began to sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Her cross was her husband. Hey, it happens sometimes. But that was a Christian lady. Number two, sisters, Ephesians 5:33. After Paul tells the men that they must love their wives even as they love themselves, then he tells the wives, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, the word reverence is a Greek word, phobio, not phobia. Some of you might have a phobia about this phobia, but it actually has a partial meaning of to fear, to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, of those startled by strange sights or occurrences, of those struck with amazement. Now, I'm sure that, this must occur once about, well, I guess maybe sometimes you wake up in the morning, you're not shaved very well. She looks over and she gets phobia. She goes, oh my, what did I get myself into? But the word also means reverence and venerate, which means to almost worship and to look up with deep feelings of respect and love. So see that if you reverence your husband with a deep respect and you submit yourself to your husband, and then principle number three is, as we said before, to render due benevolence, which is to be good and kind toward him. How could a man ever be bitter or angry or stingy with his wife? What you're doing is you're creating an atmosphere that he wants to be around. Now remember the woman who came to Brother Branham and told Brother Branham she didn't love her husband. Brother Branham said, well, he said, did you love your husband one time? She said, yes. He said, well, he said, then I want you to go and do things for him that you know he likes be done. Dress the way he likes. Cook the foods he likes. Greet him at the door when he comes home from work. And so she did those things, and she came back and about 6 weeks later, and he said, well, how'd it go? She said, I fell in love with my husband again. He said, well, tell me about it. And she began to tell him, hey, I dressed the way he liked me to dress. I cooked the foods he liked. I did things that he liked me to do. And you know what? He started doing kind things in return. You see, sometimes we get this attitude like, well, he owes me. You know, I'm married to him and I'm supposed to be his queen, and you know, you act like a drag queen more than a beauty queen. you know. And just do it the way Brother Branham said do it. Show the love. From the token, Brother Branham said, apply it. Create the atmosphere around you that they will just drop right into. There you are. If you've got the token, you create an atmosphere around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. In love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See, that's it. Apply the token, then walk in it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Now, as I said before, I don't believe that Christ is coming for a bride that's cranky, that's mean-spirited, that cusses and swears and acts like the world. I believe he's coming for a bride that's gentle and kind and sweet and giving of self. And you know, I don't think we have much time left. You know, the Bible does say the bride has made herself ready. And I believe it could be this spring, could be next at the most. I can't see much more than a year or two, the way things, the world's falling apart. I don't know if you've aware of it, but I heard on the radio this morning, about 2 in the morning, I heard that the Hillary Clinton has recalled all of the U.S. ambassadors from every country that they're in, and they're coming back for some type of a special or secret meeting. Something's going on, and this has never happened in the history of the nation, that all the ambassadors have been recalled from overseas at one time. So something's going down. We know that the dollar's about ready to go. When the dollar goes, listen, there'll be food in the stores, but you won't be able to afford it. This nation is going to go just like Egypt, just like all these other nations right now. They're rioting everywhere. All the Muslim nations right now. You know, Bahrain, Libya, Yemen, Egypt, Iran. There's just insurrections raising up everywhere. Why? Somebody's pushing the button. The squeeze is getting to the point where people can't take it. So they're beginning to rebel. From explaining healing and Jairus, Brother Brown said, and we ought to get ourselves in that kind of an atmosphere to create. Each one of you is a creator. Did you know that? Each one of you people that's born again is a creator. We must create an atmosphere, as I said the other night. Sometimes when I'm at home and the wife is all the people in and out and just going on all the time, I go in and my wife's standing in there wiping her tears, crying. She said, Bill, the children hasn't even had a bite to eat all day. The house is packed and jammed. There's little Sarah, my little two-year-old girl, sitting there. She's crying. Rebecca coming in from school, my wife all nervous, has got that atmosphere there. See, that's what it is. So I go and I say, well, I tell you, honey, that's true. And I say, sweetheart, and, you know, to quieten her down in a kind way. Then I, in my heart, I say, Lord, I'm giving my love of God into my wife. Now, Lord, help me now here. I want your spirit now. Now, Satan would get us all confused, but I want you to help me. Now, I don't fuss at her, see? No, I just say, that's right, honey, see? It's very bad, but you see, we're serving the Lord, see? What I'm doing all the time in my heart, I'm trying to create a different atmosphere. They're all nervous and they're tore up, see? Now, and I was thinking in my heart, oh, Lord, send your presence down and your love to my poor little tore up wife. And then I say, yes, dear, that's right. And I say, what was this here? Oh, we haven't had anything to eat. And I say, well, there probably won't be anybody else in for the next couple of hours, so let's get something to eat and I'll help you. And I'll start to getting my, pulling my sleeves up, and she'd say, now, look here, young man, you might be able to help me wash dishes, but you can't cook. Well, then I'll just say in a joking way, who can't cook like that? You know, just going on, and, well, you haven't even ever seen me fry a potato yet. I was raising them like that, or something like that, and I'll see a little bitty smile trickle in on one side, you know. And the first thing you know, I come over and I put my hand on her, and now she don't know what I'm doing yet. And I say, bless your heart, honey, and I'll tell you what, I'll help you do this. And then down in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, send your peace that's in me into her now. Oh, God, quieten in my family now. I'm your servant, Father. And I say, dear, I'll help you wash the dishes. And and I get on this and I say, you just start with the children, like, and say something there, and I'm standing there all the time praying, now Lord, send your Holy Spirit. And I know it'll quieten them right now, and I'm sending it in this home, my home, in the name of your son Jesus. And the first thing you know, the wife says she'd be interested in talking about something, and the baby's got blocks playing there and going on, and then it's all over. See, I seen a little smile come out on the side of her face, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Just kept on. I said, well, we'll get supper ready right quick, and then we'll shove out right quick and go somewhere, and let's get in the old car and pedal around down along over the hill somewhere. And I said, we'll just have a good time. And she just started getting supper ready, and every once in a while I would walk over and I was praying, oh Lord, now just let me create an atmosphere being happy instead of being like this. And I laid my hands on her like that, and I said, honey, you know what? And she thought I just put my hands on her to talk to her, but I was actually laying my hands on her in the name of Jesus. See, then I say, honey, you know what? It's just marvelous. You know, this coming summer we're going to go up to the mountain as soon as I get a little time of vacation. And I said, and I'd like to see them kids catch one of those trout. Wouldn't that be, wouldn't you like that? And she said, oh, that was a lot of fun. And then I noticed it coming right along, and I said, honey, yes, honey, that's just fine. And inside I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please. And the first thing you know, she was laughing and singing, and the kids had their blocks in there playing and having a big time. And so I had my hands on her shoulder, and I began to create a little, in my heart, Lord, I'm happy, and there's nothing wrong with me. I love you. You know I do. And you just straighten up out my little family. And after a while, I said, and tell you what, honey, I'll show you where these dresses are. And then, and when she's gotten quietened down, I looked down, and Sarah and Becca have signed the peace treaty, and they were playing, and little Joseph was just a shaking his little rattle and having a good time, you see. And you've got to get the right kind of an atmosphere. It's the atmosphere. You got to get away from all the old confusion. But the thing of it is that you're scared. That's what's the matter. You'll be frying your meat on the morning for breakfast, and the first thing you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, and I'm going to shock you a little bit. You don't mind, do you? All right, for instance, the meat's frying, and all at once the grease pops out on your hand. And now, if you just shake it off and go on frying the meat, it wouldn't bother you. Now, I knew you didn't get that just right. Look, the first thing of where's the unguentine, we say, or something like that, and you grab your hand. See, it scares you to death. That's what it is. It's fear. See, that's the way it is. But you just keep believing, creating that atmosphere. Never doubt. Let doubt come on you. Believe all the time. Don't accompany any of that doubt at all. No, sir. No matter what the circumstances are, push away your doubt. Walk right on and right through it. Just refuse it. Yes, sir. Don't give no grounds to it. You know, years ago, I preached a message up at Brother Lee's called the House and the or Home in the House of God. And I read this particular quote, and so the next day Sister Sheila was out, and she was out pulling weeds out in front of the church, and I told them how that I thought, well, Brother Brown said this, and so when I was reading this to my church, I thought, well, before I preach on it, I want to make sure that I understand it myself. So I went and fried some eggs that morning that I was going to preach this, and I fried some eggs for breakfast, and I made sure there was a lot of butter in there so they'd spat up and the grease would get on my hands and stuff, because I wanted to prove it. You know, the Bible says prove all things. So anyway, I'm cooking the eggs, and the grease is spatting up in my hands, and I don't do nothing about it. I don't pull my hand back, don't put it under water. You know, I just keep frying the eggs like nothing happened. And, you know, all the little spackles that got on myself, I just, it meant nothing. Well, so when Sheila heard that, she, the next Sister Sheila, she, the next day she's pulling weeds, and up comes a whole cluster of poison ivy in her bare hands. And she remembered that when she and Steve had gotten married and on their honeymoon, they had gotten some poison ivy, and she said it just spread everywhere. So she was very allergic to poison ivy. But she looked at this and she thought of what Brother Branham said. It's your fear that does it. She just threw it away. She kept pulling weeds. And you know, she never got any poison ivy, you know, in the body. So I believe that you create an atmosphere, see, you step into it. That's what those people do that, you know, they walk on nails and things. They get themselves into an atmosphere, and they walk on hot coals, they walk on nails. It's just an atmosphere that does it. Like Brother Boswell said, you know, you can hatch a chick under a warm pup, you know, warm puppy, because it's the atmosphere that does it. So in 1 John 4, verse 17 and 18 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Well, the Bible says fear hath torment, and that word is kolossus. It's punishment or penalty, and what is penalty? It has to do with causing to hold back, to check, to curtail, or restrain. In other words, as long as you are under fear, you will not move forward. You tighten up and you stop your progress. Remember, Peter was walking on water. He's walking all right, doing pretty good. What happened? He began to look at got his eyes off Jesus, began to look at the waves. He began to sink. You see? So he got afraid, and the fear caused him to stop walking. That's what's the matter with the people today, Brother Rent said. They've got a lot that they're afraid of. The devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. He says, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all power in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. We're right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justifies, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Whew. Wasn't that deep? All right. We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, what we are here is a reflection. Here, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. Now, that's a pretty strong quote. From the curtain of time, Brother Brown said, "I noticed while they spake about him, talked about him, he appeared." That's a good way to get him around you. Talk about him all the time. Amen. Keep your conversation not on who's or where the next play comes up on television or the next movie is going to come or who's going to be elected president. Talk about Jesus. Christians talk about everything these days but Christ. Go out and they always got a bunch of nonsense and everything that they want to talk about or something, but never talking about Christ. Talk about him. Sing about him. Love him. Keep him on your heart and mind all the day and night. David said about that he'd bind the laws upon his fingers and bedposts. And so he'd be before him all the time. That's the way. Keep him before you in memory and in thought and in praise and in speech. All that you should do is keep Christ before you. That's the way you keep him near you. And from personal experience with God, Brother Brown said, "Now I'm going to give you a little secret. If you love people, people will know it. Did you know that a man is a creator in himself? How many believe that? He's the Son of God in a fallen condition. He's a creator. Was you ever around someone that you just loved to be around? You had those people? What is it? It's because of their atmosphere that they create around them. You've been in nice people, but yet you couldn't stand to get around them. It's their atmosphere. You see? It's love. Well, love goes out deep. It does great things, and Jesus Christ is the love of God. From "Do You Now Believe," Brother Brown said, "Now, let me tell you something. Each man that's born again with the Spirit of God in him is a miniature creator." Now, that might shake you a little bit, but that's the truth. We're in the image of God. God is a creator. That's the reason that you can believe that God can heal a person, because God is in you and God made this world. He just spoke it, and his word became material. The very ground that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. If he didn't, where do you get it from? See? He just spoke it and it turned into existence. He believed in his own word. And if a man, a born again of the Spirit of God, he's an offspring of God. And that part of God is in him. And he believes every word that God says will materialize. See? And so that makes him a part of God. The Holy Spirit in the man makes him a part of God. And now, did you ever see nice people, or people, nice people, but you couldn't hardly stand to be around them? Sure you have. You don't have nothing against them, but you just can't hardly stand to be around them. You see? Well, they create that atmosphere. Then you see other persons that, oh, maybe a little old scrawny fellow or a little old woman bent over washed up, but you'd just love to be around that person. You just love them somehow. It's the atmosphere that they've got around them, the way that they live. They create an atmosphere that you like to be into. That's lovely people to be with. So, Brother Branham is letting us know here then that it depends on yourself. Like the Bible says, you know, if you can't have friends unless you show yourself friendly. So you create that friendly atmosphere, you see? From hidden life in Christ, he says, now the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, something about them, something about a real Christian that you love to be around, and there's a power there that you create your own atmosphere around you. And remember the night that the maniac ran out to the platform to kill me up there in Portland, Oregon? What happened? Well, that poor fellow, I didn't get angry with him. I loved him. Something happened. I just loved him. And from divine love, Brother Branham said, now, what you want to do is be lifted up by Christ to create an atmosphere to where you're happy and peaceful. And then in there, you create a situation. In the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. As we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22-25 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, provoke them to love, to an outward display of their revelation. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2-7 says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for a gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Notice it became examples of faith manifested. And in closing, from Show Us the Father, Brother Branham said, you are a creator yourself, a miniature creator. Listen, did you ever see the people that was nice, though you just couldn't stand to be around them? Something about them you just couldn't stand? Did you ever see people that you just love to be around? Did you ever see them kind of people? That's the atmosphere that they create. And let me tell you, my dear friends, the greatest thing that there is this side of heaven is love. Divine love. God is love. You read in the book when the maniac ran out there to kill me on the platform the other night? I didn't hate the man. I loved him. Sure, felt sorry for him. That's what slew him on the platform. That's what slew those witch doctors standing there that day. Human beings that God died for, standing there trying to throw spells on me, witches like that, standing there before him. And you see them fall to the ground, throw their heads down like this, and give their hearts to Christ. It was love that did it. Love is the mightiest force there is. Even filial love will make a mother jump through a fire to grab her burning baby. She won't think of herself. So, you know, we need to get there. Now, do I have a plan? Just this. Get in the atmosphere yourself. Play those tapes. Don't be dependent on just one person in the family to do it. All of you need to do it. You need to immerse yourself in the Word. As Brother Branham got to the point where he said, all my thoughts are of God. From the message Love, he said, and when divine love has projected and comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. Now that's my text. When divine love has been projected, project divine love and it comes to its end, till it can't go no further, then sovereign grace will come in and take its place. Now, do you realize, being a son or daughter of God, that you're a minor creator? Do you know that you create the atmosphere that you live in? Do you realize that the atmosphere that you dwell in, you influence somebody else? What makes people act that the way that they do? It's because what makes the drunks like to be drunk. As my mother used to say, the old proverb, I think it's southern here too, the birds of a feather flock together because they have things in common. From divine love, it says, and you know that there's some kind of people that's real good people, only you just can't hardly stand to be around them. That's right. Why is it? They create that atmosphere, and there's some kind of people that you just love to be around, and they create that atmosphere that they live in. Now, it's a supernatural thing. Now, when the presence of the Lord comes down, it creates an atmosphere for faith. And I thought, now, Lord God, you help me. Now, here's the thing. You ever notice how gossips kind of hang together? people that gossip, they got each other's ear. They feed off of that. You ever feel uncomfortable around those people? You know, if you just tell them what you... Well, there's some people, you just tell them what you want everybody to know. And you don't tell them what you don't want other people to know. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Well, it's an atmosphere they live in. Now, you've got to create an atmosphere, and your faith will do it. They were all in the upper room with one accord when suddenly there come from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind. The atmosphere was right. It takes an atmosphere to do anything. You know, the regular procedure to hatch chickens is to put them under a hen, but get the egg in the right atmosphere, it'll hatch anyhow. Now listen, brother, if a man loves God in the right kind of atmosphere he'd get into, it'll produce a newborn babe just as certain as I'm here. It's the atmosphere that counts. Let this little handful of people sitting here tonight get in a perfect atmosphere. Watch what takes place. There will not be a feeble among us in our midst. The cripples will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak. Without prayer or anything. It's the atmosphere. That's how 25,000 was healed in one prayer line in Africa. When they see the Lord do something, it created an atmosphere and they stepped into it. That's the pool when the water is running right. And from the message love, Brother Brown said, there's something about a man or woman. You are a miniature creator. Have you ever seen people that you just love to be around? It's the atmosphere that they've created around them. Are there nice people that you just can't stand to be around them? They create that atmosphere, the way that they live and the way they think. It's a little atmosphere that you live in. Notice, he said, it's not just the way you live, but it's the way you think. Because remember, your thoughts are seeds. From the message love, he said, did you ever see a person that's a good person? You think that they are very nice, but there's just something about that person you just don't like to be around? Certainly you do. And when you've seen people like that, you just love to be around, what is it? It's that creative power that's upon the people that create an atmosphere around them. Where they're at. If they're full of love, not make-believe, but real love, you can feel it. You know that they're Christians. They shake your hand. I'm your friend, John. You can feel it. He said, I know it's the truth that man creates in himself the atmosphere that he lives in, and around him, he's anointed with a spirit. I've seen people that you just couldn't get away from. You love them. You love them so. There's something drawing about them. It's because they live in that atmosphere. They live under the power of the Holy Spirit. From here you hear, Brother Bram said, it comes down home to the Pentecostals, acting and dressing and fashioning, looking, talking, blaspheming, making fun, indifferent. That's rough, but it's good for you. It's the truth. But that's the reason the world can't see nothing genuine. When the people come to the place that they'll forget all their little differences, and the love of God will shed abroad in our heart by the real teacher, the Holy Ghost, you'll become salty, and the world will want to be like you. You create a creation around you. You've seen people that you just couldn't stand to be around, yet they were nice people. They create that within themselves. You've seen people that you love to be with because they create that atmosphere around them. Your spirits, your soul. You can't hide it. You can't make believe. That's what's the matter today. There is just too much make believe in Christianity. And it wasn't so from the beginning. So did you ever meet people that you just love to be with? You've had that. Why? They create that atmosphere by their life, the way they live, the things that they think about, and the love that you have for them. You've heard my message on the possum, you know, and the bees trying to sting me, and the bull trying to kill me, the animal. See, you create an atmosphere, and that atmosphere, and that's the atmosphere that you have to be in to pray for the sick. See, it's the same thing. It's love that casts out evil spirits. From awakening Jesus, he said, and we created our atmosphere around us, each one of you. You've been with people that are very nice, but you couldn't hardly stand to be with them. Then you've been with people, other people that you just love to be around them. You create that atmosphere. And oh, wouldn't you have loved to have been around Jesus just a little bit? How wonderful. See what kind of an atmosphere he created around him. Imagine it was just one big bundle of love and respect and joy and godly fear. And from identification, now Jesus gave us an example of what we ought to be looking at when he reflected his life to us through the word, what we should see. When we look into God's mirror, we should see ourselves identified with him. That is a perfect example. Now, but we find out that as we go along through life, that our character molds the image that we are. each one of you as you live, so it, your character molds you to what you are. Now, you've seen people that you just love to be around, yet they might not exactly be in your bracket of society. And again, they might be in a different race, or colored, or brown, or yellow. But there's something about that character that you just love to be in their presence. Because each person is a little dynamo of their own. And you put out an atmosphere. And when you see people that were noble people, but yet you were always glad to get away from them, it's just that they create such an atmosphere around where you are. Nothing against them, they're nice people, but you just don't like that atmosphere they're in. And they create whatever they are, it makes them what they are. Just a few more here, we'll close. Is your life worthy of the gospel? He said, and did you know you're a little creator yourself? Did you know that? Certainly. You've seen people that you just love to be around. You don't know why. Just that loving type of person. Haven't you seen that? Just as kind, and you like to be around them. They create that atmosphere by the life that they live, the way that they talk, their conversation. Then you've seen those every time that you shun them. All the time they want to talk about something evil and talk about somebody and say, oh my, there they come. They're going to criticize somebody. See, he's in here now. He's going to talk about this man. All they're going to do is tell dirty jokes or something about women or something like that. And you just hate to get around them. See, they create seemingly pretty nice people, but they create that atmosphere. And the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about, it creates an atmosphere. You know, you say, well, how can the things that I'm thinking about create an atmosphere? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, it's got to manifest what's in there. From the token, he said, they was applying the token, amen, that's it. Get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up, let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. That's right, it'll take effect, yes sir. Then apply the token in prayer with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth that it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence. Believe it's going to help. Then you talk to that child. When you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this one, believe that it's going to help and stand there and say, Lord, I claim them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you. Or I'm getting them for you, Lord. And from the token. He said, apply it. Create the atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. Oh, there you are. If you've got the token, you create a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See, that's it. Apply the token, then walk into it. Claim your household. You must do this. Now is the evening time. You see, Malachi 3, that's what it's all about. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewel. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall we turn and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And from awakening Jesus, he said, and we create our atmosphere around us, each one of us. You've been with people that were nice, but you couldn't hardly be around them. Then you've been with people that you just love to be around. You create that atmosphere. And oh, wouldn't you have loved to have been around Jesus just a little? Wonderful. See what kind of an atmosphere he created would have been. I imagine it was just one great big bundle of love and respect and godly fear. So it sounds like the same basic principles that we should have in our marriage. Why not? Create that atmosphere. Create that atmosphere and you watch. From identification, is it the atmosphere they lived in, and their character creates whatever they are. It makes them what they are. Therefore, in closing, Philippians 4, and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we just ask you, Lord, to help us as Paul, as William Branham, as your son, our Lord Jesus. They created an atmosphere of expectation. They created an atmosphere of love and joy in the Lord. As Paul said, whatsoever things are kind, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, help us, Lord, to think on these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.